Hey everybody, this is Brent Kellogg, the pastor of Hillspring Church in Sand Springs, Oklahoma. And this is our podcast. Thanks for taking time to join us today. Our prayer is that this would inspire you, build your faith, and help you take the next step in Christ. Enjoy the message.
Say a big welcome to everybody that's joining us through the miracle of the interwebs and YouTube and website and all of those things. So I'm just really glad you're here today. I'm super excited. If you're a guest with us, Pastor Matt said, it's kind of an interesting Sunday in terms of we're kind of moving into a season of just talking about what God has next for us as a church. And I know you were thinking, oh man, I was really hoping to hear him preach. They hope that every week. So it's kind of the same thing. So if you have your Bible, open up. I'm going to take you to almost the middle of your physical Bible, to a little bitty book tucked away towards the end of the Old Testament called Habakkuk. And you like to clear your throat when you say it. Habakkuk. So, and some of you are like, we've been in Genesis. In the words of Arnold Schwarzenegger, we'll be back. It's going to take 6 weeks here and kind of look at some stuff. So Habakkuk runs parallel in scripture with the book of Jeremiah, which is a pretty good sized prophetic book in the Old Testament. Jeremiah also wrote the book of Lamentations. Habakkuk and Jeremiah were contemporaries. Daniel falls in the same time in the history of the children of Israel. Ezekiel kind of falls in that same point. So if you know like the historical timeline of the descendants of Abraham that we call the Hebrews or Jews or the nation of Israel, Saul was the first king. David replaced him as the second king. And David really brought growth, strength, and stability and united the children of Israel to one united nation that was then known as Israel. When David dies, his son Solomon becomes the king. And I think that Solomon took Israel even to greater places. And some of us love David and can't even imagine that someone would lead greater than David. But David built the foundation for Solomon to put the icing on the cake, because one of Solomon's greatest accomplishments was the temple. It was absolutely immaculate and gorgeous and beautiful. And then after Solomon died, his son took over. And shortly after he began his reign, the wheels began to fall off. And the nation of Israel would then split into two independent, separate nations. Sometimes they would be allies, but most of the times they were actually fighting with each other. And so the tribes that were to the north retained the name Israel. And then Judah and a couple of other smaller tribes to the south, they became known as the independent nation of Judah. Okay? Now, Israel in the north really never had good kings. All of their kings they did what was evil in the sight of God. Judah to the south, about 40% of their kings were actually good, godly men that would kind of rein people back in, kind of point people back to doing the things of God, living the way of God. So Judah's story is a little bit different than Israel. And consequently, Israel's history is almost two centuries less than what happened for the nation of Judah. Okay, so Israel in the north, by the time we get to Habakkuk, no longer exists as an independent nation. The people are there, but they no longer have their sovereignty. They no longer have their freedom. The Assyrians, which is made up what's modern day Syria, Turkey, the Assyrians came marching through and they conquer them. So Israel in the north has lost their freedom and independence. Judah to the south still remains independent, but they are quickly following the path of their immoral cousins in the north. And they're quickly wanting to serve the other gods other than Jehovah. And so God would speak through Jeremiah. And God would speak through Zephaniah. And God would speak through Daniel and Ezekiel. And among the people that were used by God to speak to the tribe of Judah was a prophet by the name of Habakkuk. Though he wasn't the only prophet, Habakkuk at times felt like he was. He felt like everything around him, everyone around him was turning moral and evil and corrupt, and like he was the only one. Habakkuk wasn't having any fun. He was striving to remain faithful in a culture that was determined to walk away from the things of God. Habakkuk felt very alone in a corrupt world, and at times he felt even powerless. And his prayers were, God, are you seeing this? God, where are you? God, don't you care? Because it was a day where evil was prospering and good people were becoming fewer and fewer. And those who were trying to do the right thing becoming less and less. And those who were trying to raise their kids right, they were trying to hold steadfastly to the things of God. They're suffering. Everything they attempted to do just seemed to fail. The economy was bad. The state of the church seemed powerless. And Habakkuk's prayer was like, God, are you seeing this? God, where are you in all of this? So I want to start in Habakkuk chapter 1. We're going to look there for a minute. We're going to look at Habakkuk chapter 2 for a second. And Habakkuk chapter 3. We're just going to walk through those. So if you've got your Bible, you can start there. Habakkuk chapter 1 verse 1, it says, this is the message from the prophet Habakkuk that received in a vision. How long, O Lord, must I call for help? But you don't listen. Violence is everywhere, I cry, but you don't come to save. Must I forever see these evil deeds? Why must I watch all this misery? Wherever I look, I see destruction and violence. I'm surrounded by people who love to argue and fight. I don't know. That kind of sounds like Facebook. You know, like everywhere I look, people fighting about. And God answers Habakkuk with an answer that, let's be real, he don't really like the answer. Habakkuk don't really like what God says back to him. Biblically, what God says is, I am going to allow, I'm going to raise up the Babylonians as an instrument of justice. Well, the Babylonians were not the supreme superpower that belonged to the Assyrians, but people knew their reputation. And so the reality is, the lesson for you and I, if we want to step away from the things of God, like their cousins Israel in the north, if we want to step outside of the protection and the wisdom of God's word and God's ways, I'm just telling you, there's very real consequences with that. And God says that the Babylonians are going to be an instrument of his judgment. But ultimately, yes, all the fighting and all the violence, that's going to stop because the Babylonians are so dominant and so overpowering. There will be no more fighting because they will become the law. They will be a heavy law and they will rule heaven. But God finishes talking to Habakkuk by saying this. He says, let me be clear. The Babylonians are not my chosen people. They choose strength and power as their God. And in chapter 1, Habakkuk does not like what he hears. He doesn't. Verse 12, most Bibles include this heading. It's not actually found in the text of the ancient manuscripts, but translators will put this text. It says, Habakkuk's second complaint. So he's just kind of whining to God. Well, I don't like what you said. I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like where I'm at. It's not like he's praying. It's not like he's begging God to help us. He's kind of complaining. All this violence. Do you see this? Where are you at? Verse 13. He says, but God, you are pure and you cannot stand the sight of evil. But really, will you wink at their treachery? Talking about the Babylonians. Should you be silent while the wicked swallow up people more righteous than they? I'm gonna put this in the Brent Kellogg version, that what we call the BKV. The Babylonians, God, they're nasty. Like he just kind of complained. You're gonna let them do that to us. And so Habakkuk chapter 2 begins. So Habakkuk makes his complaint. And then Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 1, he says, well, I am going to climb to my watchtower and I'm going to stand at my guard post and there I am going to wait to see what the Lord says and how he will answer my complaint. I hear just a little bit of stubbornness. Like, God, I'm not leaving till you talk. I'm not going to eat. I'm not going to drink. I'm not going to go to the bathroom. In about 45 minutes, I'd be gone because I have a small bladder. It's just what it is, right? Okay, Habakkuk chapter 2. I'm going to change translations. I normally read out of the New Living Translation, but I'm going to put this into the New King James Version, all right? It said, then the Lord answered me. So he's up there. He's in his watchtower and he's waiting. God, I'm not leaving until you speak. So I'm like, all right. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run. Who reads it? For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. This is God's way of saying to Habakkuk, to quote the great theologian George Strait, baby, write this down. Take a little note, you know. Just write this down because I'm going to talk to you. I got something to say. And God begins to speak why he is moving among his people. He begins to speak why there needs to be a course of correction and why he's going to use the Babylonians as a tool of instrument. Israel, their cousins in the north, had made an exchange. They had traded God for wickedness. And now the nation of Judah in the south, they were getting ready to make the great exchange as well. They were trading their relationship with God. They were trading that for wealth. They were trading a spirit of humility for pride. They were trading compassion and kindness for cruelty. There was no more loving your neighbor. There was no more watching out for your brothers. It was a selfish, me first, money is our God kind of culture. And after Habakkuk hears the voice of God speak, it wasn't rainbows and unicorns. It was, listen, correction is coming. Correction is needed. Hard things are going to happen. But after he hears the power of the voice of God speak to him, he at least knows he's heard a word from the Lord. And he has this powerful moment of worship that's recorded in chapter 3. And that's the thing about when God speaks to us. Sometimes it's to build our faith. Sometimes it's to encourage us. Sometimes it's to let us know he sees you. I see you. I know this is hard and heavy, and I'm going to give you what you need to get through that. But let's be real. Sometimes let's not forget that the Holy Spirit doesn't convict us. Sometimes God puts his thumb on something like, listen, you can do better. This is, I made you for more than this. If you keep going down this path, you're not going to like the consequences that you're going to walk into. And sometimes God corrects us, but here's the thing about when God corrects us, it always comes with the power of his presence. It always comes with the faith to make the necessary changes and just become more like Christ.
Amen.
Thank you. You guys with me? God spoke to Habakkuk. It wasn't great news. And this was Habakkuk's response in worship. This prayer was sung by the prophet Habakkuk. Verse 2. God, I've heard all about you. I'm filled with awe by your amazing works. Hey, by the way, the Babylonians are going to come through. And they're going to march heavily. God, I'm filled with awe. Verse 3. I see God moving. I see God moving across the deserts from Edom. The Holy One is coming from Mount Paran. Verse 4, he's coming is as brilliant as the sunrise. Rays of light flash from his hands where his awesome power is hidden. God tells Habakkuk that the next season is going to be hard, but he reminds him he's still God. You're still my people and good will prevail. When we look at the story of Habakkuk, sometimes God asks us to wait. We use that word tarry. I mean, it wasn't a person. It was just, sometimes God says, you're just going to have to wait. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, they that wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. They'll mount up with wings as eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not grow faint. Sometimes the Lord just needs us to wait on him. Habakkuk went to his watchtower and he just waited on God to speak. Sometimes the Lord asks us to walk. In Habakkuk's case, he said, listen, I want you to write the vision in big, clear, so when someone sees it, they can run. Sometimes the Lord asks us to go, run. And then sometimes the Lord asks us to trust. Habakkuk 2:2. Then the Lord answered me and he said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets that he may run. Who reads it? I couldn't remember. It's been several years ago. I mean, I was like, Lord, when did we start having this conversation? And I think it was in 2021, but it had even been a little bit before that. 2021, that was fun. COVID, no, thank you, right? But for years around here, we've been talking about, well, someday when we build a new building, we'll build closer to the road. Someday when we build a new building. And this thing happened called COVID. Maybe you don't remember it. I remember it. And when COVID happened, something crazy happened. All the construction prices, they literally just went absolutely insane. And so the new building that we talked about that would solve all of our ministry needs and stuff like that, all of a sudden that it literally was like vision slipping through my hands like sand would. It literally just slipped into the impossible. Like, I didn't feel like that's ever going to happen. And I felt like in that season, the Spirit of God say to me, what's wrong with what you have? Just steward what you have. What's wrong with what you got? So I have two kids. Landon graduates OSU in like 3 weeks. And I have Kaylee, who's a junior in high school. And they both feel like the other one is the favorite. So it's my job's accomplished, right? That's my mission. But when I relate to Landon, I relate to him differently than I relate to Kaylee, because Landon is wired different. He just, his personality, his temperament, it's just different. This is, so when I'm relating to Kaylee, I relate to her according to the way that she is wired. And I feel like the Spirit of God does the same thing for you and I. I feel like he's a good father, and he relates to all of his children in the way that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And I don't know that this was God. Maybe. I love Italian food, and sometimes I eat it too late. And so sometimes, you know, I dream crazy dreams. Okay. So, but I really think God was speaking to me in a way that I would remember it. And just from this season, I'm just going to tell you what I felt like the Spirit of God. And I'm one of those guys that I'm very careful to say, the Lord told me, the Lord told me, the Lord told me. I just am. I always want to quantify with, I believe the Spirit of God is leading me. But man, I don't ever want to speak for the Lord and be wrong. I weigh that heavily. And so I was just prayerfully seeking direction as things were, you know, kind of felt like, man, the thought of a new building just really slipping out of our grasp and out of our hands. And I felt like the Lord spoke to me in a way that I would receive it. And he said, well, why not just put some lipstick on that old pig one more time? I'm like, I can understand. Y'all, I'm a redneck from Tallulah, Oklahoma. God, when he speaks to me, he speaks with a draw. Okay. Warsh and wrestling. That's how, I'm just telling you. I carry this weight with the heaviness. Like, I don't know about you, but I play the comparison game sometimes of other pastors or other churches. And some guys can just, you know, they're full of life and full of vision. They can just stand up and say, we're going to go in this direction. Boom. And it just feels like everything automatically happens and their church goes in that direction, right? And at least that's how I perceive it. But this comes heavy for me because I recognize that growth requires generosity. I recognize that success requires sacrifice. And I'll be honest with you, I got into ministry to preach the Word of God. I love to learn. I feel like God gave me a calling and ability to hopefully communicate in a way that people can learn it and understand it. That's why I got into ministry. I got into ministry to help people. I did not go into ministry to ask people to give your time. We realize you are very, very, very busy. So it's not like, you know what? I think the people of Hillspring are bored. Let's come up with something to put on their calendar called small groups. I just think they're busy. You know, and no. We know that you're busy. The reason why we ask you to get into spirit-filled, life-centered, Jesus-centered relationships is because it brings great value to your life. Some of you guys went and turned a light bulb this morning because of something that God did through a relationship that was discovered in your small group. And so I didn't get into ministry to ask you to give time. I didn't get into ministry to ask people, sir, I would love for you to just be able to come to church, have a wonderful experience, and go home. But somebody got to make the coffee, y'all. I don't make very good coffee. It don't work that way. Somebody has got to hold the screaming baby so you can come have some Jesus time up in here, right? So it takes people serving the body so that we can do the ministry of the church. And I certainly did not get into ministry to ask people to give money. God, I trust you with it. I went into ministry to serve people. I went into ministry to teach the Word of God. I went into ministry to help people. But Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no vision, people perish. And I don't want to be a perishing church. Listen, the vision of Hillspring Church, it's the same as it's been for over a decade. We want people to know God, find freedom, discover their purpose. And when that all comes together, man, we make a difference for the kingdom and the glory of God. Can I get an amen? The vision's not changing. But sometimes we just need a fresh word from the Lord. Sometimes we just need to take that step of faith and say, God, what's next? We're ready. We're ready to open arms and make a difference in our community. We want to take our next step so that we can reach more families. We can take our next step to reach more teenagers and kids. So since 2022, I've been talking about what does this look like when it felt like the thought of that new building that we might build someday literally just reaching out of our hands. I go to the elders. What would this look like? What would it look like if we put lipstick on an old pig one more time? So by the time we get here, we have already worked with multiple consultants and contractors. We've already worked with a site plan team. We've got not one, but we've done two due diligence processes to get to this point. And some of you are like, well, why are we just now hearing about this? Because here's the deal. If 2.5, 3 years ago, if I'd have stepped up here and said, hey, get ready, we're going to do this, but we're not ready to do it for 2.5, 3 years, organizations lose interest. Organizations lose heart and they get impatient. So I would rather bring forth a well prayed over plan instead of just speak out of the passion of my heart. So we've talked about greater things. Our first Wednesday of April, we talked about greater things. Some of you have received stuff in the mail. You know, since fall of 2022, our board of elders have been prayerfully considering, God, is this next? God, is this what you want for us to be next? So when we had the chili cook-off for the first Wednesday in March, by the way, Richard Coe, it still burns. My doctor has still not cured that. So thank you for that. I had an incredible conversation with a family that was relatively new to Hillspring. They're actually in the new to Hillspring small group right over in that corner. And in the course of that conversation, they mentioned that they had 7 kids. And so my first thought was, holy Moses, I bet Christmas is expensive, right? And then my second thought was, I wonder if they need a cat. I have lots of cats. They need a cat. They had 7 kids. She told me this morning, no, we're good. We have 3 cats. They didn't. But one of the kids goes, hey, where's my complimentary cat? So still got to figure that out, right? Now, I'm so proud of where we are as a church. Man, those stories of the early days just fire me up and inspire me because we did what we could do with what God had provided for us at the time. But also when I'm having conversations with a family that has 7 kids, there's also this part of me that I feel sometimes like I need to apologize. Because when you drop your kids off and you've got a baby in the preschool building and you got a 5th grader out back and you have a 3rd grader in this building, it feels like Gilligan's Island and you're going on a 3-hour tour. And I just, man, and think about when a mama brings her baby for the first time to a church. They're handing that baby over to somebody that's a complete and total stranger. Normally, when our kids are little bitty, we leave them with babysitters. We leave them with people we know. We leave them with close friends. We leave them with families. But hey, you gotta drop your baby here in this building, and then your 5th grader, we're gonna take him out back, and then your 3rd grader, you're gonna stick them here, and you go on a 3-hour tour just to get your kids checked in. For years, you could ask me, Brent, if you could fix one thing, what would you fix? And I say, man, it would be incredible if on Sunday morning we were all under the same roof in a safe, secure church. Because when this building was built back in 1993, church safety was a completely different conversation than it is in 2024. But at least if we could get in 2 and just minimize 1, it would just make Sundays a little bit, because we have some space, but sometimes it feels a little bit like wasted space. So I'm just going to talk to you a little bit about what's next. Here's our goal, the north wing, that like on the other side of that wall and down that hallway, right? That north wing of this building, we're going to completely gut that. We're going to raise the ceiling up in there. I'm 5'9", and I can almost touch the ceiling, right? So it feels a little bit claustrophobic in there. And our goal is to move our elementary age Kids Spring Ministries into our north wing. There'll be a safety security checkpoint right there where you check your kids in, and they'll go back through there, and it's supposed to be safe and clean and up to date and somewhere where your kids want to be and our goal is phase 1 will eliminate what we call our next gen building. Next gen is code word for pole barn. Some of my longtime Hillspringers be like, out there in a pole barn? We got a pole barn? What's a pole barn? Listen, that's what the building was built for. It was built for storage. And then God's blessed our church and we grew and we didn't have a place for kids, but we would try to have kids in those classrooms, but this room was too loud. They were really too loud. And so we just used the pole barn. We put HVAC in the pole barn, and then it kept growing, so we had to add on to it. There'd be a time back when I was youth pastor, we'd have 100 teenagers out in the pole barn. Y'all, the smell. They'd just come from ball practice. They didn't have to tell us. So the pole barn, it's a great facility. It accommodates a lot of things. It's not going away. We just don't want to use it on Sunday mornings for safety, okay? So I keep talking about phase one because out of this, we want to prepare for what could be someday a phase two, but we want to be smart about how we do this now. While we're renovating the North Wing, while we're gutting that, we're also going to build with a thought in mind that eventually we will add to this building. We'll just add on. It will connect and attach. We will add, and then all of our preschool ministries that are now in that building that's unattached in a different building, they will move over to this building so that on a Sunday morning, mom doesn't have to go to three different buildings or two different buildings to drop her kids off in church. They just do it here. When will we do that? When the Lord says now. Our job now is to prepare for that someday. Safety is my number one concern. When this building was constructed in 1993, church safety was a completely different conversation. And we live in a world today when a family visits, it needs to be safe and clean and secure, and the church needs to talk about Jesus. Amen? So if we're going to move those kids into here, we got to do some stuff. It is virtually impossible for a class over there to hear while something is going on in this room, specifically worship. Like, they'll start class over there, and if it is loud, they're like, I'm to yell and talk. Why is he angry today? Because you just have to yell over what's going on in this room. So we have to create some sound barriers. We're going to construct hallways down both sides of this room. Those walls will be double insulated walls. It's designed to create an air gap and a sound barrier so that they can have KidSpring classes over there, and we can worship in here without screaming and yelling, and they can do it in there without hearing us have our worship moment. Next Sunday evening, I know Matt's already talked about this, we're having our spotlight gathering. We're going to take you on a 3-hour tour. We're going to take you from the lobby. We're going to talk about where we started, where we're going, where we've been. And I'm going to take you in there. And I'm going to show you all those places. You get to ask all those questions. I looked just a second ago. There's just a few spots on the 4 o'clock. But listen, if that's the only time you can come, I still want you to come be here. But I would love for you to register. But if that fills up and you can't come at 5:30, we would call us this week. We would still love for you to come. We'll make room for you. But those groups can't get too big because we're taking you on a tour. Okay. You can scan the QR code that's up on the screen to register for that. Each gathering is going to be about 45 minutes to an hour. Child cares, we'd love for you to come. So since we've been talking about this, I've had some really good, valid, even this morning, had some really good questions. So one that I keep getting, it's a pretty common question, is do we have the people in the church that can do this so we can just save a lot of money? And that really is, that's a very valid question for Hillspring Church because we are a roll up your sleeves, get to work. If it needs done, we're going to go get it done. That's just who we are, okay? And if we depend on an army of dream teamers, because we have some guys that have a lot of availability. But if we do that, we're looking at a lot of work nights and we're looking at a lot of work Saturdays and weekends. So we've been digging through some of the old scrapbooks and stuff like that. And I saw just the other day, it was a weekly calendar for what was then Cornerstone. And it was Saturday work day. All the men are needed! Exclamation point. Okay. Here's the deal. I mean, we could do this, but it would just be a long, drawn-out process. And if it takes too long, then we begin to lose heart. And people begin to lose interest. And the people who do have the time and capacity and the gift to help sometimes begin to resent the people who don't have the time and capacity and ability to help. And so this thing that I want to be a great blessing, we want this to be an incredible blessing for our church, now it becomes a burden and can potentially cause issues in the church family, and that's the last thing we want. I don't know how projects around your house go. Sometimes when we do those projects, we start sharing opinions, right? And we start asking questions, and we start proposing changes, and we start floating ideas. So a couple of Sundays ago, Jerry and I were on our way to church, and we had the flat. First time in 12 years on Sunday morning that we had a flat. It was 6:45 a.m. After my best attempts of getting the car back home, I'd air the tire up. We'd drive 2 miles. I'd air the tire up. We'd drive. And after about the third time of that, Jerry just says, can't we just call your brother? I'm like, what's he going to do? She goes, I don't know. I just feel like you need someone else. This is something I want us to be excited about. Not something that creates space for disunity and division in our church. Not a burden of, well, the church is having another work Saturday. I mean, I need to work on my own house, but. Or, well, I got to go up there because nobody else loves the church as much as I do. I'm the only one. And the longer the project goes, there's this temptation to cut corners so we can just get it done. And our heart's desire is that we want this place to be a place that you're proud of. I'm so thankful for what we have. I'm so thankful for what we've done. But this is a massive undertaking. Other than constructing this building, this is one of the largest things we've done in over 30 years. And a contractor, we can pay them. We are paying them. We're holding them accountable. Like, hey, buddy, that toilet don't go in the shower. You're going to have to fix that. If it's a volunteer that puts the toilet in the shower, like, oh, well, I guess we'll just now have a toilet in our shower. It's fine. Don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. And my prayer is that this would be a unifying experience where relationships are enhanced, not strained and divided. Our goal is to come out better, not broken. You'd be surprised how many projects like this cause division and disunity in churches. Well over 20% of pastors within 2 years of completing a project will go to a different church because of the division and disunity that causes. And listen, our board and our leadership team and our staff, we're committed that's not going to be the case here. Another great question. Can we just pay as we go? Can't we just build what we can afford? 20 years ago, that was a real thing. There was times in this church history that we just did what we could do, right? But the reality is construction fatigue becomes a thing, and so then we just leave things undone. We cut corners. We don't necessarily finish it the way we designed to do it. And our goal is to jump in, get it done, and give God our best. Where are we meeting? We're not. We're canceling church for 8 weeks. No, I'm just kidding. Some of you are a little too excited about that. We're meeting. So as construction begins, and we hope that can happen somewhere in about the middle of June, that the Sand Springs Home has generously offered their recreation facility. It's a facility that is built with kids in mind. It's amazing, but it's also built with the intention that the community could have access to it. And it's right there, Caddy Corner from Charles Page High School. And this is going to be fun. Some of my people that came from the Owosso campus that was portable, we're going to use that experience that you have on your resume of setting us up, because we're going to be portable every week setting up and tearing down. We've been over there multiple times to look at the space. There's a big gym. That's where this room will meet. And then there's some kids' rooms. And we're just going to make it work. We're going to be a family. We're going to love each other. We're not going to fight. And we're just going to get it done. Sometimes a little bit of inconvenience is going to be good for us. Amen. Thank you. And huge generosity from the Sand Springs Home. This is what they've said. Listen, the money that you would spend renting a facility, can you take that and invest it back in the project? And we said, absolutely. Deal. Huge. $1.7 million is a lot of money. There are some consulting groups, not our group, but there are some consulting groups that will tell you a church can raise 2.5 to 3 times their annual income in the course of about 3 years. This year, man, God's just doing incredible things here. I ran some numbers the other day, kind of made some projections. This year, we are on pace just in tithes and offerings to bring in right at about $975,000 and somewhere between there and $1 million, just in tithe and offering. That's incredible. Okay? By the time you add in some of the other cash flow, which is mission giving or mission trips or camps or day school, and those money, you know, when money comes in for a mission trip, we don't pay salaries for that. We pay for the mission trip and things upon that. But the total cash revenue in the course of this year, we're anticipating to be $1.3 million or more. Okay, so I want to use that to make a point. Let's just take the number $1 million. That's easy. Okay, if there's some consulting firms that say you can make 2.5 to 3 times your annual income over the course of 3 years, then there's some consultants that would say, you guys can raise up to $3 million. All we're trying to do is just a little more than half of that. We're trying to raise $1.7 million just to renovate, upgrade, put some lipstick on the old pig one more time. Okay, so if we hit the $1.7 million mark, here's kind of the punch list of the things that we set out to accomplish. Number one, that safe, secure, enhanced worship space for our elementary age kids that'll be down that north wing, right? We're also going to set the stage for a possible phase two sometimes where we can move our preschool over to here. Everything on a Sunday morning eventually would be under one roof. But in this phase right here, it would be our elementary age kids would be in this building under one roof on Sunday morning, and the storage building can be something else. Secondly, when we walk away, we would walk away with this worship center being an updated worship center. Modifying the seating just a little bit. And a lot, I had a conversation this morning. Why are you getting smaller if we're getting bigger? That's a great conversation. So we're changing the camera boxes that go away. And we can put a ton of seats right in there. We'll be able to take seats all the way to the back walls because of the access that the hallways will give us. So the seating will look different, but we're not losing seating capacity. It will just change a little bit. But we'll be able to update just some of the technology and the things in here. We'll be able to update our broadcast capabilities. Those two main cameras, I was doing my best to recall, I believe we bought the two main cameras back in 2012, might have been 2010. We have certainly got our mileage out of them, but it's time. It's time to upgrade our technology so that we can have a better broadcast for our social media or our website, because that is our new front door. Some of you, before you came here, you watched a broadcast of one of these services and you came anyway. That's your own fault. We'll upgrade our safety equipment. This building will be sprinkled. Fire suppression unit throughout, security cameras all the way throughout. We're bringing the old pig up to code. We're going to renovate, remodel, update the kitchen, renovate, remodel, and update the bathrooms. Sometimes somebody, that's the biggest hallelujah, you know? Then the lobby, gathering space, the ceiling is going to be elevated to kind of give it a little bit more of an open area. Our gathering space is going to be updated, right? But then on top of that, we hope to add additional transportation to an inadequate transportation fleet. 2 Wednesdays ago, Matt came walking out of here on Wednesday night and he had that crazy look in his eye. Well, a different crazy look in his eye. And he came out and he's like, there's 130 teenagers in there. Go smell it. And I'm like, no, I am good, buddy. I don't need that, right? Like, it would take 3 buses to move our youth group to go somewhere. But right now we have 1 15-passenger van. And so our hope out of this Greater Things initiative is that we could add some necessary. I would love this old people group they keep talking about on Thursday and put my picture up there. That's offensive. But it would be so cool for us to have a people hauler so that they wanted to go somewhere like Branson. We've got the transportation to do that. If you've never seen Kelly McMichael try to get in the back row of a 15-passenger van, you haven't lived. We just want to add to our inadequate transportation fleet. And if we reach that $1.7 million, we think we can accomplish all of this and walk away totally and completely debt-free, paying off the existing debt that we have. Easter weekend, with our Good Friday service included, we had 1,150 people here. I mean, I remember that day. It wasn't stressed. It wasn't strained. Our dream teams, our staff, they did an incredible job. What I remember about Easter Sunday is that in the middle of the third service, right there on the second row, there was a family of 5 people all raised their hands in unison and gave their life to Jesus Christ. I know I'm long. Somebody text Mazzio's and tell them we're running late. I tell the story in Growth Track that Jerry and her family have been here since the early, early, early days of what was then Cornerstone Church. They were Cornerstoners. Don't you think Hillspringer sounds a little bit better than Stoner? I mean, Cornerstoner. I mean, I know some of you are longtime Cornerstoners. That's a very fitting term, right? So, and I always tell the story about when she was in 5th grade, getting ready to go into 6th grade, and her parents had that conversation with her that, hey, we're gonna go to Cornerstone. And there was part of Jerry's really sad by that, because they were at a church that had an incredible, huge, big youth group. And so now they're going to go join some people they loved and knew, but they'd be going to Apple Creek out in that little area. And, you know, that church wasn't even the same size as the youth group from the church that they were leaving. And this week, actually, Jerry's mom reminded her of a story from back in the days. So when I got home on Thursday, Jerry goes, have you ever heard the Bud Babb story? And I go, I mean, yes, I know who Bud was, but I'd never necessarily heard the Bud Babb story. And Bud and Kathy were great members back in the day of what was then Cornerstone. Bud was an elder. I never knew him. He was gone by the time I got here. Bud has now gone home to be with his Lord and Savior. But at the time that they were trying to buy this land and secure some of the funding to build this building that we're in, and I talked to Larry about this just the other day, there was a special offering just to make the deposit on this property. And so Bud and Kathy, they had lots of kids, and so they had bought their land. They had a trailer house that they were going to live in the land while they built their home, and they had just been saving some money away just to make the down payment so they could get started on their home. And through just the needs of the church, they prayerfully and sacrificially gave the money that they had been saving for the down payment of that home so that what was then Cornerstone could buy this property and then start construction on this building. I would imagine if Bud was standing here today, he would say it was with zero regrets. I'm glad they did it. And see the fruit that's been born out of this church. So what was interesting about Bud and Kathy's sacrifice, on the flip side of that, it just kind of flipped a switch. Bud had something to do with buying and locating and building cell towers. And if you recall, in 92, 93, 94, that industry just exploded. And God blessed him. Listen, we don't give to get anything from God. We give because we can. I don't give because God needs my money. I give because I need to give. It's better for me as a person to be generous. So Pastor Matt talked about signing up for the devotional. We'll have tables at the back of both these rooms. We have some t-shirts, kind of first come, first serve. Not everybody will get a t-shirt today, but if you want to do the devotional with us, sign it. Let's do this. Let's walk this journey together. This is not about sheetrock and walls and space. This is not about money. This is about Hillspring Church being willing to take a step of faith. John 14:12, where this whole greater things comes from. For sure I tell you, whoever puts his trust in me can do the things I am doing. He will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. You realize the era of the church, we are in that greater things. Jesus did incredible ministry. He healed people, gave sight to the blind. He fed people. But the church, the global, beautiful body picture of the church, is today living in the greater things. And I believe that God has greater things for you. I believe he has greater things for your kids, greater things for your families, but he has greater things for us. There's more ministry for us to do. Amen. Let me be clear. I'm not asking you to give. I'm asking you to do one thing. I want you to pray. I want you to pray a simple prayer. God, what do you want to do through me? And then in the words of Habakkuk, write it down and run and run. Spirit of the living God, we stand before you today on the precipice of greater things. Lord, there's been some incredible ministry down through the years. Thousands of people have been ministered to, reached, saved. Lord, I believe we're moving into a season like Habakkuk that it may be hard. Lord, I know the enemy is real, and I know he's spiritual warfare is going to be on the rise, and I know he's going to bring pressure for us to, there's going to be a temptation to be divisive and argumentative, and Lord, we commit as a church family today to covenant together to be used by you. God, what do you want to do through us? Lord, I can't wait on the other side of this to stand and celebrate in the stories that will be told, like Bud and Kathy Babb all those years ago. And the legacy they left and the lives that have been changed because of their sacrifice. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen.
I hope you enjoyed the podcast today. If you did, there's a couple of things I want to invite you to do. First, hit the subscribe button. That way, you won't miss a single episode. Secondly, if this message has impacted you and you would like to help us reach others, visit our website at hillspring.tv and hit the Give Now button so that we can take this message around the globe. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.